Hi everybody. Well, thank you for joining with us. We're really pleased to have you on this stream, and we'd love to connect with you in a moment. Some of our contact information will come up on screen. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to find a way to serve you, to support you, to strengthen you in your faith during these unusual times. So please do get in touch with us. There's a saying that you may be familiar with: living life in the fast lane. Well, I think that probably could be replaced in this past year with living life in the anxious lane. For some of you, that anxiety may be caused by physical problems. It may be because of the illness of yourself. It may be the illness of a loved one. Maybe even death or loss, and certainly separation that we've all felt, particularly in this past year. For others, it may be more of an emotional anxiety as the unpredictability and the uncertainty of life seems to continue. And I think it's taken its toll in all of us to some degree. I read a recent survey taken from King's College, London, looking at the NH staff there. And they discovered that 50% of the staff who had worked through the pandemic, who had been involved in frontline, were suffering from severe drinking problems, severe anxiety, or post-traumatic stress. I think we can all identify with that and some of the reasons for that, because when we think about anxiety, it's very rarely one thing. If it was just one thing, we could probably rally round and handle that. But anxiety is not so much one storm as the threat of storm after storm after storm. It's that big, massive, unwanted bundle of what-ifs. Fear has to do with a specific threat, but anxiety is more to do with the what-ifs. What-ifs, and we play those scenarios out in our mind. And the truth is that they will begin to choke and squeeze the life out of us if we're not careful. But I have some good news for you today. We're starting a new series on looking at there's more to life than anxiety, as well as the well-being group that we're running midweek, and we'll continue to do that over the next several weeks. Today we're starting the series, There Is More to Life Than Anxiety, because that, I believe that that is the good news. I want to give you some life-applied Bible teaching that I believe will give you some direction and hope for your experience. Now, I don't want to trivialize what you're experiencing. I don't want you to feel that we're not taking it seriously, because we do. We've experienced it. We deal with that week in, week out. But I do know there's some hope. I do know there's some help. And if we will apply the lessons that we're learning over the next several weeks, then I believe we'll be in a much better place. First thing we're going to do is listen to the actor David Suchet read for us from an early church leader, Paul. Paul was writing from prison. He's chained to Roman guard. He's facing execution. And yet he writes something that is incredibly insightful and helpful to us in the book of Philippians. So let's listen to this 1 minute reading, and then we'll come back and unpack its truths for us.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Early church leader Paul, facing execution, chained to a Roman guard, has in that book of Philippians the repeated theme of joy. 13 or 14 times he mentions the word. And you may say, how can you do that? How can you be full of the joy of the Lord? Well, I think first things we have to do is kind of take away some of the misconceptions. Being full of the joy of the Lord is not like we're some outgoing personality, that we're like a Duracell bunny in a constant state of excitement. We don't even have to carry around a guitar and sing worship songs all day long. Though in a couple of weeks' time, you'll see how worship actually can be really helpful to us. But we don't have to. We don't even have to wear sandals or sing Kumbaya. It's none of those things that are choices we make for the external. It's not about plastering on a fake smile as we walk through a difficult season of life. I think it begins with a deep sense of remembering. Remembering that God is here with us. Always. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. We remember that God is with us always. We remember that God is in control. Always. It might look like governments are in control and maybe even wanting to take more control. But actually, history is His story. It's in His hands. It's moving to a conclusion as He determines. Remembering that God has a plan for our lives always. And yes, even in difficult times, God is at work. God wants to do something in our hearts that's transformative. Remembering that in times of pressure, in the anxiety of life, He is a sovereign God. Always. So Paul comes to us and says, we should praise God. But just in case you think he was off somewhere with the fairies, he wasn't the only one. There's another man in the Bible called David. In fact, we looked at him last week. And if you haven't watched the message on leaving a lockdown life, then I would encourage you to go and look at the previous message. Because David had to spend a number of years hiding, a number of years running from his jealous father-in-law. And yet he has an incredible perspective on life. Psalm 18, which will come on screen for you in a moment, is actually his song to God. It's his thanks, it's his joy that's overflowing after he's been delivered from his enemies. Listen to what it says. I love you, my Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield, my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. So you see, it's not just Paul in prison. It's David who also said from his place of hiding and when God delivered him, it's right to praise God. It's right to give him thanks. It's God who is working, and he remembered what God has done. And maybe that's a good thing for you to do, to pause and think and remember all the good things that you have in your life that's given from the hand of God. But just think for a moment, why is it that God places such an emphasis on praise and thanking him even in difficult times? Because it seems counterintuitive to us. The British character likes a good moan, whether that's about the weather or the government or internet or our cars or whatever, out the roads, taxes. We like a good moan. It seems to be part of our characteristic. So why does God place such an emphasis on praising him, even in difficult times? It's because gratitude and praise and thankfulness helps us to focus on him and not on our problems. I love playing golf. And one of the things I know about golf, that if I see an obstacle, if I see a potential hazard or a difficulty, my mind always wants to go to that and focus on that. And when I do that, inevitably, the direction of my swing and the direction of my ball will go in that way. I don't know why that is. It's just something in us. And that's true not just of golf. It's true of the guide of our life. It's true of the direction of our life. The things that we focus on consume our time and attention and will eventually be the diet that we have. And when we focus on all the bad news, our minds can easily be controlled by anxiety and fear. But truthfully, God is the sovereign God who's bigger than everything we fear. Bible says that there's nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. Nothing in the past, nothing in the present, and nothing in the future for those who follow Jesus Christ. Praising God is also the best way to defeat our fears and to experience his peace in our hearts and in our lives. We'll unpack that over the next few weeks. So we should praise God, and we can praise God even in the midst of lockdown. What are some of the things we can praise God for? Well, some of you can praise God the fact that you've had to slow down. Life in the 21st century can be so hectic, so connected, so fraught. Some of you have had the opportunity to be at home and just slow down. Some of you have had a great opportunity to spend more time with your family, and that has been a great benefit with you. We know the homeschooling can be a challenge, and we know you may be getting to the edge of your limits with your family, but generally, most of us have appreciated the chance to spend more time with those who are closest to us. Maybe we can praise God for the opportunities to spend more time studying, whether that's studying the Bible and praying, or whether that's areas for self-development. Maybe you can praise God for the opportunity you've had to help your neighbours. Maybe you've spoken to people you've never spoken to before. Maybe you've had an opportunity to talk to people you've never talked to before and help and serve them. Maybe for some of you, you can praise God for some of the creativity that's been expressed. The fact that you're watching this online on some device or through the computer suggests that you have the opportunity to praise God for the fact that you can do it, and that you've been able to do it. I also want you to listen to some wisdom from some ancient writings. It's from a book in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, from a guy called Habakkuk. And this is what he says in his experience. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. You see, the Bible says that we should praise God. We should be thankful. It's right that we do that, and we have a lot to be thankful for despite the difficulties and the circumstances we're in. But if we're going to do that, then I think we need a second thing. We need the perspective of the sovereignty of God. You see, Habakkuk is writing in a time and a season to the people of Israel, very dependent on agriculture, very dependent on two sets of rains coming into the country to water the crops and to fertilize. They were living hand to mouth. But Habakkuk had got to the place where he knew his joy and being joyful wasn't about the circumstances, it wasn't about the crops, whether they came or whether they didn't. He had a perspective of the sovereignty of God, God working in the circumstances, of God being a ruler in every season of life. Then he could be joyful. I wonder what your perspective is. I want to play a short video clip for you of a Christian writer and author. Her name is Joni Erickson Tada. And in this little clip she talks about her recovery from COVID. But Joni, when she was 18, went diving one day with her friends, and she dived into this particular lake, but it was too shallow a dive and she had an accident, and the result of that accident was she was a quadriplegic at 18 years old. And in her autobiography, she says for the next 2 years of rehab that she struggled with depression, she struggled with anger, she struggled with suicidal thoughts, she struggled with her own faith. How could God allow this to happen to her? But she relearned some things, and one of the things she learned to do was how to paint by holding the paintbrush between her teeth. She got so skilled and so proficient in that she sold some of her artwork. She went on to write around 40 books and star in the movie of her own life. Listen to what she says and listen to her perspective. I think it will encourage you.
As you know, I've been struggling with COVID, and I thank you for praying me up and out of it. Although, I don't know, maybe you can tell my lungs are telling me I'm not quite in the clear. Being a quadriplegic, it was so hard to breathe, especially at night in bed. And when I was told I had COVID, I thought, this is a death sentence. But my disability had already taught me how to carry even this cross. For when I trusted him to see me through, even if it did, yes, mean death, when I gave it all up to him, I could feel God take gentle, firm possession of this strange affliction and begin to do a work in me. It was as though the Lord pressed me. Johnny, do you believe me that I will never leave you or forsake you? That I am your ever-present help in this trouble? That doubting me only makes things worse? Do you believe my grace is sufficient, whether I take you home or assign you to remain? Do you trust me? And in the dark, in bed, I cried out, yes, Lord, I believe. And then in the ensuing hours and days, I felt this wonderfully odd calmness and almost indifference to how much it might hurt or how it would end. And I felt perfectly still under the hand of God. He pulled me close into a shelter, and I felt myself resting in the shadow of the Almighty, and it felt blessed. G.D. Watson once wrote, he said, when the suffering soul reaches a calm, sweet carelessness, when it can inwardly smile at its own suffering and not even ask to be delivered, then it works its blessed ministry. Then the cross you carry begins to weave itself into a crown. When we give our suffering over to God and sink ourselves into His will, He will make every pain work its divine purpose in our lives. I trust my words are helpful to you today. If your suffering is to you a complete mystery, I pray you'll embrace God with willful thanks, finding hope in your hardships.
Wasn't that an incredible story, an incredible testimony? And you can see and hear the emotion in her voice and how she's sharing that, having to get to that place of placing even her life in God's hands. Everything we have from God, even the life that we live, the breath that we have. So why does all this matter? Because we should be thanking God with the right perspective on life. Here's another reading. Again, it's from this guy, David, who spent a lot of time hiding and on the run, and in his perspective, found God to be sovereign. This is what he said in Psalm chapter 9. But the Lord reigns forever, executing judgment from his throne. He will judge the world with justice and rule the nations with fairness. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Sing praises to the Lord who reigns in Jerusalem. Tell the world about his unforgettable deeds. He who avenges murder cares for the helpless. He does not ignore the cries of those who suffer. Our perspective, truthfully, needs to be that we confidently trust in the sovereign God. David said, it's the sovereign Lord who reigns. It's not a virus, it's not a government. It's God who reigns, and we have to keep that perspective of a God who is a sovereign God. It says that he will judge the nations with justice and fairness. Maybe you think life isn't fair at the moment. Maybe you think life hasn't been fair for you for a long time. Maybe you think what's happening in society isn't fair, and it would be hard to disagree with some of that. But we know that God is a God of justice and fairness, and one day all the wrongs of this world, all the injustices, will be put to right. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, says one day God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there will be no more sadness or sickness or suffering or sorrow, no more death. For those who follow him, God has a great future. God is a God of justice. And this knowledge is an enormous comfort for us, because we may never know in this life some of the things that happen. We may never get answers to our questions. But for those who follow Christ, we have the confident expectation that one day we will see him. So we can trust in the sovereignty of God, that he will never leave us and that he will never forsake us. In fact, in verse 10, it says this: they who know your name will lean on you confidently, putting their trust in you, for you have not forsaken those who seek you. God does not forsake those who seek him. So if God is sovereign and ultimately in control, does that mean we are absolved of responsibility? Does that mean we can do what we like? No, there is this paradox in the Bible. God is a sovereign God. He holds the whole world in his hands. But at the other element, we have human responsibility. We have free will. And we have to make the right choices and the responsible choices. We'll talk about that in the upcoming weeks. So there is this paradox of the sovereignty of God and our free will. And we are free to choose. And free to choose to thank him and choose to follow him. And today maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to start by thanking him for people in your life. Or for things in your life, or what he's done in your life. Maybe you need to ask God to give you a deep trust in his sovereignty, that he is working. You see, the truth is, we don't just live this life. There is life after life. The Bible says from one of the wisest men, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that God has planted eternity in the human hearts. We don't just live for this life. Our bodies that will decay and eventually return to dust, that's not the true us. We have a spirit that will live on eternally in one of two places. Either we will live with God, or we will live separated from God. God has planted eternity in our hearts. It's the fabric, it's part of our DNA. And right now, today, God is inviting you to trust him. God is inviting you to live for him. God is inviting you to thank him and praise him. And you can do that even for what Jesus Christ has done. Life is more than just existing. You may say, well, how do I do that? How do I have that eternity? How do I have that sense of confidence, not just for this life, but for the next? The Bible says that if we believe and receive, does that sound so simple? But it's what Jesus said. The Bible promises this: to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Incredible thought. If we're willing to believe and trust him to forgive our sins, if we're willing to receive him for ourselves, we can have eternal life. We can know that certainty. Will you accept God's offer today? I invite you to bow your head if it's safe for you to do so as you're listening to this or watching. Bow your head and quietly whisper a simple prayer that will change your eternity. Jesus, I believe in you and I receive you. Go ahead. Do it. If you sincerely meant that prayer, then congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. You're now ready to discover and start living God's purpose for your life. If you need help in your journey, then please do get in contact with us. As we said, we'd love to serve you, we'd love to support you, we'd love to strengthen you. But for those of you who are already on the journey, you can also say, I believe and I receive. I believe that you're a sovereign God who loves me, who cares for me, who has a plan and a future for my life. I receive the hope and the joy that your Holy Spirit brings into my life. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the stream. And thank you for being with us.